everyone's alive. There'll come a day you realize you're in the autumn of life. You think about the things you've done, the wrong things and the right. Still more work to do before these colors fade from view, and all the things you didn't do that you should have done. 'Cause nothing lasts forever, all things must end. So much left to do before the lights go out. Still hear music playing.
All right, folks, welcome back here to the Mark Steiner Show. My good friend, Milton Duggar, the Baron of Soul, in the house.
The Baltimore Baron of Rhythm and Blues.
Let me correct myself.
That's right.
The Baltimore Baron of Rhythm and Blues.
Remember, before they called it soul, before they called it rock and roll, it was Rhythm and Blues, named by none other than Sonny Till when he was interviewed by... what's that guy's name who went on to work at Atlantic Records? Anyhow, his name, Jerry Wexler. Jerry Wexler. What do you call this music you all do? And he said, well, you know, it's a little bit of rhythm, a little bit of blues. And so race music was renamed
Rhythm and Blues.
Hello, Dolly.
There we go. So, folks, I'm here with Milton Duggar. He's got another event coming up. And on our way to talk to Milton, there are two things I want to say. I forgot to say before we went to break. You mind if I take a short detour here?
Please.
I want to remind you, conversations like this are brought to you by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to testing, you can learn more about the issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org, or at SteinerShow.org is the Maryland State Education Association banner. And also today is voting day. I know you voted, Milton. I know you.
I early voted.
I know.
I wanted it to be over.
You would not vote. You would all, right?
Oh, no. Too many people paid quite a price.
Right.
I was recently, when I say recently, within the last 3 years, in Birmingham, Alabama, at the 16th Street Church, which brought home a lot of what we have forgotten 50 years
later. Those little girls died in the bombing by this Klansman.
Yes, right. Sir. So I would never not vote, and I don't understand how anybody can say we don't have a choice. I don't know what that means, or I don't know. I haven't made up my mind. I told you I wasn't going to talk about politics. Why did you trick me into that?
I'm not tricking you into that. I just ask a simple question.
Okay, all right. You know, talking about 50 years, I don't know, 50 years is kind of getting caught up in my life. I had my 50th wedding anniversary.
Which was a lovely ceremony.
Thank you. Well, the group The Blue Lights began with us in 1967.
Wow.
The song that you just heard is a song that we're going to release for The Blue Lights in 2017, their 50th anniversary year. And they came to us auditioned for us, brought in by the drummer of the Chaumont's band at that time, Mr. Kenneth Brooks. And they auditioned with this song.
Which one are you going to play?
Number three.
Forever. This one?
Yes.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Well, all Mark, right. You asked a question, so I want to give you a truthful answer.
I remember that song.
This is a great song. This is the song. And this version of this song, they did for us a cappella when they auditioned for us in 1967. The song was originally recorded by the Marvelettes.
That's what I thought. Okay, I thought I wasn't crazy.
It was a flip song, okay. Flip side, you know. And it was recorded by none other than Marvin Gaye.
Right.
On Tim Watts' show one year, we went over there, and I brought the Blue Lights version, which was a regional hit, all right? And so we asked the audience which of the three they liked.
The Marvelettes.
And, of course, I'm proud to say the Blue Lights. So that's one. You know what? If we can go to number two.
Right now?
Here's a quick story for you. So that was the side, you remember the day now, that was the side that was played at the one end of the dial, 1400.
Yes, WWIN.
Well, the guys at the other end of the dial
WCAO
couldn't find that R&B thing in that, so they didn't quite fall for that, but they played the flip side, which was number two.
Telling me, son, you better put her down.
Oh, my. So, seriously, I can remember we did a, you remember Corvettes? We did a big Corvettes show with Johnny Dark, and I can't think of the early morning guy, but Johnny Dark.
Was in WCAO.
The king of WCAO who just passed away.
The White Station.
So, one end of the dial. So, the White Station versus the Colored Station at the other end of the dial, 60 versus 14. We were so happy because anything was being played, so we had no problem that they split the play. But there were four guys who had gotten themselves together. They had no name at the time, and so we dubbed them the Blue Lights. A fellow named Harvey Zimmerman, who was our attorney, dubbed them the Blue Lights, and he said, let's get cute, and we're going to do the French spelling of blue. So it's always
L-E-U.
That's right. So folks always want to correct us, but it's okay. So that was Larry Hart, first tenor. Second tenor was Phil Towns, who just passed away last December.
I saw when you posted that. Yeah.
And Al Towns, his brother, the only remaining of the four, and Lee Gordon, who you interviewed on your show sometime back, and who passed away in 2009. The original Blue Lights.
Good Lord. I mean, I've been interviewing you and your guys for an awful long time now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's a good thing. We're glad to, some of us still be here to be interviewed. But
and Dr. Duop, by the way, called in saying he's listening.
Dr. Duop. Hey, friends of the radio land, the doc had a stroke on Sunday a week ago, but I'm so glad to say that he is in recovery and all is well and swell, only because so many people prayed. And prayers do get answered. Believe me.
There we go.
So we had this. Mm-hmm. Well, go right ahead.
I was going to ask you, I'm going to go back to the root for a minute, for your roots for a moment. I mean, when you were young, I heard you sing a few years back.
Yes, sir.
When we had that event over on Harford Road.
Yes, sir.
And you had a great tenor, still have a good tenor voice.
Thank you.
So to talk about your, let's go back because people might not have heard this, your own roots in the R&B world, in the soul world, and where that comes from.
My roots are from the fact that Grandma Clark, my grandmother, took me to the Royal Theater the first time I'd ever been to a live show anywhere. And there was
place.
A wonderful fellow there, young man, before Frankie Lyman, before so many of the young people. He was called, you know, of course, a young sensation. His name was Sugar Child Robinson, who played the boogie-woogie piano. He was unbelievable. That's you're talking about the beginning. When I was in actually when my cousin Ann was in junior high school, I went to Booker T, and they used to do what were called operettas as part of the closing exercises, uh-huh. and live theater, singing, dancing. And I began to develop an interest in that. My cousin Ann, who's 5 years older than I am, kind of led me to things. And she used to go to the Royal Theater. And I decided I'd start going to the Royal Theater, I guess, in about the seventh grade. And I went down there and just fell in love. Well, first of all, I lived 1404 Myrtle Avenue near Lafayette. Two blocks.
You could walk, right?
From the Royal
Theater.
You could
walk to the Royal, right? Right.
I spent noon to six every Saturday at the Royal Theater for at least 6 to 8 years, and it was just quite thrilling. So everybody in the world,
everybody.
For 50 cents, could see the whole Motown Review.
Everybody.
If you got in there by 12:30, you could stay. And so it was quite a time.
People don't really realize, and we'll come right back to your work now, but we're doing what you're doing this weekend. But people don't realize, many people don't, that the Royal Theater, which they tore down, which I thought was
criminal.
A criminal.
Really?
Rather than making it a landmark like the Apollo, right? Or any of the other places around the country. That you could see back in the day, 50s and 60s, everybody, anybody.
Yes.
Ray Charles came through there. I mean, everybody would. Anybody who was sang in that place, played
indeed.
In that place, you know?
Yes.
James Brown. I mean,
yes.
I remember when James Brown recorded a live album I think it was 1964. he recorded a live album at the Royal Theater.
Yes.
You know? I mean, it was an amazing spot.
Yes.
Anyway.
A cultural icon that you can only see by way of the grass today.
Yeah.
It's nothing but grass. Well, anyhow.
So anyway, I just wanted to get to where this route came from for you.
But
then, when did you start the recording company itself?
Well, when I was at Towson, my buddy Charlie Steinmetz and I were in the Glee Club together. He asked me to audition for a band that he had that was called the Caravels. And they said, okay, guy, you can be our singer. So we decided that we wanted to go into the studio and make a record. So I can't remember the name of the gentleman. He had a record label called Odell, and we did an original song and went in and made the record, which nobody probably has ever heard. But it was a song called that I had written called That's Where You Belong. But we evolved from the Caravels into the Showmonts, because when we went into the studio in April of 1967, to actually, Mark, just do a demonstration tape. At the end of it, we decided that we were going to do an original song written by our guitarist, Martin Hebron. And we did that song, and we had it mixed and all, and we took it places. It was called Love Is the Thing. And much to our surprise, the DJs played it, and things got off and running. And we had to rename ourselves because Caravel was a trademark of the Bulova Watch Company, so we couldn't use that. So we became the Showmonts, Chaumonts, and the Showmont was a television that RCA had thought about inventing but didn't. But we used to get calls from people from Showmont in France because they thought we had some. Said sorry.
That's great.
We weren't international that way.
So you have an event coming up. That's one of the reasons.
Yes,
today.
Yes, that's right. So we're going to do. You heard the opening song before. The Lights Go Out.
Great
well, this
song.
This is Before the Lights Go Out, held at the St. Mary's Hall on Saturday night, November 26th, 6:30 to 11 p.m. because the old folks have to be in by midnight. And it's going
Speak
to feature
yourself,
some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And we'd like folks to give us a call at 410-938-8411. That's 410-938-8411. You know, when I started this, we used to try to sell food. We used to have food, but we found out that people would not RSVP. So we make this now a bring your own food affair, and we do the setups for the people.
That's great. Setups. That's nothing for old school.
That's right. That's a cabaret style.
A cabaret
bring your own food. And the setups
Left
are...
Left Bank Jazz Society used to do that
that's
all
right.
the time,
that's
right?
That's right. You have right. chips, pretzels, and...
tonic water and whatever
else. Right, all that kind of stuff. So we'd like to have folks come out, but I want to go back to this because it is a celebration
yes.
Of many things. But the Blue Lights came up with a song written by a guy, Melvin Brown, over on Franklin Town Road. And we made this song, and this song was given as a this song was the one that Fat Daddy was in love with but could never play because at the time that this song was out, he was lying in a hospital bed. He was not in good shape.
Fat Daddy, of course, was the premier host of WEBB.
And WWIN
as well.
Right,
Fat
yes.
Daddy.
The Fat Man in the Morning.
Fat Man in the Morning. So
yes.
which cut is
it? And this song is
what number?
A Lonely Man's Prayer.
So number
it's
one.
Number seven.
Oh, seven. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
I know.
So I'm sorry.
In heaven above, hear my prayer. Send me someone to love. Oh, without love, what am I living for?
I'm living for. I'm living for.
So that's the mighty Lee Gordon, front and center, basic rhythm track with the guys doing all the singing out front. That was the biggest song for the Blue Lights. We did well in Philadelphia, in Washington. Did not get the Pennsylvania guy, the Philly, but did get the Pittsburgh guys. So it was a very interesting regional song that put them on the map. Well, as this song was playing, or, you know, you have about a 13-week window when a record is out. I decided we're going to release this new song just before this one was going off. So in November of 1968, we put out a song, which is number 12 on the CD. And this song, I took to New York to Cashbox magazine. And, Mark, I was shocked that when the December 28th issue of Cashbox came out, this song was given the newcomer pick
really?
Hit of the week
and
in Cashbox.
Is this Blue Lights again?
And this is the Blue Lights.
Baby. Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
You ask me if I could ever love you, baby. Let me tell you, girl. Yes, I do.
You're great happy. Song written by a fellow named Herb Alonzo that I auditioned. We put an ad in the paper for songwriters, and he came and sat down, and he played that song, and we fell in love with it. Yes, I do.
You do have this penchant. You all have this deep penchant for these romantic,
yes.
slower songs.
Yes.
Blue Lights in the Basement.
That's right. That's right? The whole feel. Well, just to prove that it wasn't always that way, Robert Bell, my good buddy.
Did Judge
great
Bell?
Song. No, 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 no. Robert Carson Bell III.
Oh, okay, all right. Getting our Robert Bell straight.
Songwriter who would come in and play on my piano in the office there, driving us crazy. And the first song that he ever played was this one called I Guess I'm in Love. And it's the first Blue Lights up tempo thing that went anywhere.
Well, let's hear this for a minute.
With Phil Townes up front.
I never thought on the day you met you that you'd get this close to me. You got me walking around in a daze, changing all my habits and all of my ways. I guess I'm in love. I'm in love, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was known as a ladies' man, never ever to settle down. You've changed, this I know. You got me where you want me, and I never wanna
Okay, so you see, the blue lights can swing
I
it,
love
too.
It.
All That's right, good. Is that all right with you? Well, you know, time went by, and I'm not going to have enough time to cover everything. And I'm focusing on the blue.
We got time at least 9 minutes or so.
Okay, but I'm focusing on the blue lights, okay? So what we did was we just determined to do an album called Romance Returns with the Blue Lights in the Basement. And so from that album, we're going to remind folks that the days dwindled down to a precious few. It's called the September Song.
I guess it's not December yet, then.
That's right. Number 20. That's it.
It's a long, long time from May to December. But the days grow short when you reach September.
When the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got to for the waiting game.
Well, that was a little special thing that we did. You know, I had the guys learn that song straight. And then while riding to the studio, I turned to Lee Gordon, the lead singer, and I said, you know, Lee, the song is straight as is, and you could sing it the usual way that it's been done, but I'd rather you do your bluesy thing. And so that's September Song as it has never been sung.
Very different.
By the late, great Lee Gordon, my man.
You worked with some really incredible singers, and I think that and musicians in this town.
Yes, indeed.
Right?
Oh yeah, you heard that little flute thing? That was my buddy Jackie Blake playing. Mm-hmm. Paul Johns did the arrangement on "I Guess I'm in Love," and came back and did the horns sections and what have you on this September Song. I mean, that's a span of 40 years right there.
What it makes me think of, I mean, just very quickly, I'm not getting into too deeply today, but Baltimore has always, from the 30s through the 60s, through today to the hip-hop kids today, has always had some great musicians putting out stuff in this town, always, for all genres, forever, you know?
And you always have to go away. Well, that's our problem. We didn't want to go away. But to become great, you had to go away from Baltimore.
Right.
So many people. It's a sad commentary, but we're going to be happier.
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
Saturday night.
Yes, indeed.
November 26th from 6:30 p.m. until 11 p.m., as I said, so the old folks can be in bed by midnight. Live on stage, in person. I used to always love that. That's what they'd say at the Royal all the time, live. I don't know. I would hope they wouldn't be dead on stage. But anyhow, okay. Of course, they're going to be the Blue Lights. But we've got a group coming, and I want you there, Mark.
What's that?
I promise you'll be there. We have a group that does great renditions of The Temptations, The Four Tops, The Stylistics, The OJs. They're called the Palovations.
Palovations.
Five great singers. Five, great show. Great show. And guess who else is going to be there? Old Nevada and Ron, Clayton and Jimmy. Nevada and company will be there with us. We're going to have Corey Brooks' daughter get up on stage and introduce a song. Her name is Bria Brooks. And we're going to have old Doc and his brother get up there and bore people. I mean, I'm sorry, and entertain people with a rendition of a stylistic song. And we're going to have some, my neat grandniece, Jasmine Duggar, is going to present a song with a person she's bringing. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Dance time, cabaret style. We're going to do the sit-ups, chips, sodas, drink, whatever. You're going to bring your own food. We're going to have a great, good time. St. Mary's Hall, 5500 York Road. That's right there in Govan's.
That's where you had your 50th wedding anniversary.
Exactly.
Right? Celebration.
Same place.
Right.
The number, 410-938-8411. Well, you know, Mark, I guess in life, things go around and they come up and down. And so I asked Robert Bell to write a song for us about the end, the closing, if you will, and he penned a tune called Before the Lights Go Out. And I'd like to close out with that.
We have a caller calling in. We don't have time for the caller, though, do we? So Chuck wants to know how he can get the CD.
The CDs are available on CD Baby.
Okay. So we'll put that,
CDBaby.com.
So we'll go out with a song. I'll remind you on the way out, going out with a song. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union.
Yes, indeed.
Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com. And Milton, good to see you, brother. Thank you for being here.
You don't believe this, you would not, but it's from MeQ that I borrowed the money to help start Bay Sound Records.
So there we go.
Hello.
And there it is. There we go.
From Robert Bell to you, we're going to record this and release in 2017
and
before the lights go out.
Check it out Saturday night, November 26th at St. Mary's Church Hall on York Road in Baltimore. And up next, we have a conversation about the FBI, civil rights, and the weathermen with Art Eckstein. Remember, get out there and vote. If you see folks doing funny stuff at the poll, call 410-889-8555 if the poll watchers are harassing you. Go vote, folks.
In the right, still more work to do before these colors fade from view. In all the things you didn't do that you should have done, 'cause nothing lasts forever.